evening.
With Bad Mormons.
We're a family, and it's nighttime.
You know what nighttime means?
Wine time.
All the wine time.
Yes.
You're here listening to our podcast because you love us, and you like to hear stories of other people failing at life.
Right.
Or so, winning. Sometimes you know, winning.
Two sisters, raised in a Mormon family, failed to become Mormons, and now we just drink for your pleasure every week. Every week.
Hold on, we just, I just got a message on Instagram, real time, from one of our patrons.
Ooh.
I said, hey, do you have any messages for our listeners? And he sent me a recording, so we're all about to be delighted.
Fantastic.
By one of our patrons from Australia.
Damn straight I have a fucking message. This is Crotch Ronson coming straight to you from fucking Darwin, Australia. You listen to these ladies. They're fucking hilarious. I love hearing all their stupid-ass stories about doing this stupid-ass shit. God damn, it's good. I wait every goddamn week to hear what kind of nonsense they got up to before. And I remember some of the ridiculousness from, like, you know, partial first-hand experience. So fuck yeah. Keep going at it.
Oh my god, thank you, James. That was amazing.
Thank you. That was a delightful treat.
Make sure you save that forever and ever. Well, I guess it's on the internet now, so it is forever and ever. I loved it.
Cool. So shout out to the patrons.
We might
have a favorite. I don't know. I'm not sure. We love all of our patrons equally.
Some more than others.
Like a parent and her children, unless you're our mom.
In which case, she likes none of her children.
Only right now. I feel like she liked us before Trump became president.
It's true. Or if one of us were to be rich, then she would like one more than the other.
That's very fucking true. Very fucking true. So what are we drinking?
We are drinking a bottle of wine that you took from a homeless man's crotch.
Oh, yes. We're bringing back the crotch wine. Cheers.
Crotch wine.
I can't pronounce it because it's French, but I can tell you that it's a Bordeaux, and it's from 2018, and it says, Mise en bouteille à château. Sorry, France. I know that was horribly mispronounced.
You know France listens to us.
I know. Anyways, I'm trying. Not very hard. So it's a Bordeaux, and it's pretty good.
It's better that you don't do it at all than butcher their language.
Is it? Okay, fine. I'm sorry.
I like it. I like Bordeaux. They're delicious. Yeah, they remind me of chocolate.
Mmm, yeah, that's good. You know what we should do? We should go to France.
Yes.
We should get a house.
Yes.
In the south of France.
Sure.
Get a bunch of fucking wine.
And cheese.
A bunch of fucking cheese, and just get super fat and drunk.
Yes! This sounds heavenly to me.
New plan. Who wants to come with us?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Message us on the Instagram.
We'll get a big-ass castle house.
Yeah. Ooh, we could have a patron party.
patron party yeah. In France with cheese and wine.
Okay. This is happening.
We're going to make it a thing. We'll call it a patron retreat.
Where we're going to better ourselves.
By blacking out? Speaking of blacking out, I would like to repent. For the last
For what, Charlotte?
Few episodes, I don't recall the ending to Lots, and even though we even re-recorded last week's, still couldn't remember what we talked about.
Well, that was my fault. We did record several times. Like, we were sober when we started recording.
It's true. And I think your idea of, hey, we should do a shot before we start recording and then drink wine later so we can get pumped is a bad idea because I just black out. So, not doing that anymore.
No shots today.
Now, you friends, let me know whether I'm more entertaining or less entertaining the more less or less blacked out, more blacked out that I am.
Sure.
Sure. That made sense to somebody out there, I'm guessing.
Yes, it did. There's a pot for every lid. Lid for every pot.
Right. But yes, I'm getting my second Pfizer vaccine shot tomorrow, so I don't want to be hungover and have to get that. It sounds fucking terrible. So I am sticking to 2 glasses of wine maximum.
Yeah, I still have to get mine. I think I told you this, a lady in the parking lot at my work, I was out getting, carts for the grocery store.
Right.
And there's a CVS right there, and this lady in scrubs comes out, and she's like, have you had your vaccine yet? And I was like, no. She's like, well, are you going to get it? I was like, yeah, I just haven't done it yet. And she goes, well, do you want it right now? Because I have two doses that are going to go bad. If you want to just come over and get one, I don't want to throw them away. And I was like, oh, well, I'm at work and I can't, you know, I could do it like a little bit later. She's like, yeah, we're going to close soon. So.
It literally take 5 minutes.
Yeah, but I can't just leave.
You drop those carts off and walk away. I would have done it, and that's why I'm not a manager.
But yeah, it seems like it's going to be pretty easy to get.
No, it's throwing definitely them out easy. In the parking lot. That's the problem is now everybody who wanted them had pretty much gotten them, and now it's convincing the people who don't want to get them that they should be getting them, because they should be getting them.
I'll tell you what, by the next recording, I'll have mine. Cool?
Cool.
Cool shit.
Cool shit indeed.
You know what else is cool shit?
What?
Our new motherfucking electric bikes we got from Bye Bye Bikes.
What?
I'm so excited. I got a helmet.
Right.
Which I don't approve of. But it's California. It's not like we're living out on an island somewhere.
Listen, you're going to end up getting run off the road by a car one of these times. And the fact that it's electric and it goes 25 miles an hour means this might be the last podcast you hear from us, because we'll probably be dead.
I got some extra bright rear lights for them.
I did look to get those things that you put on the wheel so that when you pedal, like, they make shapes. And I thought that might be kind of cool.
Hold off on that for a little bit.
Okay.
Just because your birthday's coming up, and that may be already what I fucking got you for your birthday.
Wow.
Happy birthday, Charlotte!
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I took them out of my cart and everything, so I'm going to put that to save for later to see whether it'll even work with the bike.
Yeah. It'll work. It's better fucking work.
Sweet.
Yeah, cool. So that's cool shit.
Hey, well, thanks.
And if anybody else is in the market for an electric bike,
buy my bikes. Mm-hmm. San Juan Capistrano. Camino Capistrano. Five Freeway. Buy my bikes.
Wait, we did it all wrong.
Okay, do it again.
Five Freeway.
Camino Capistrano.
Buy my bikes. And then we jump in the air.
And then we jump in the air with our arms up.
Yeah. It's funny. So the owner of Buy My Bikes is a friend of ours. Really a friend of Charlotte's, who now is co-opted as a friend of mine.
He's a friend of ours.
But he's been doing this. He's had this business for like 40 years.
Right. And 43 years.
Yeah. And we used to watch his commercial as kids.
As a small child. I'm like, I always wanted a Buy My Bikes bike. I was like, I want the B. Although I don't know if he was doing the B thing yet when I was that age. I just know that he definitely jumped in the air and said, Buy My Bikes. But I just was seeing something. He posted a memory. And it used to be called South Coast Cyclery. And I was like, that's right. Mm-hmm. I totally forgot that. It wasn't always Buy My Bike. He renamed it like in the last 10, 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, sweet. So if you know what South Coast Cyclery. Thank you. I guess I am drunk. then that's what I'm talking about. Buy My Bikes.
Yeah. And he's always had that same little catchphrase like, Five Freeway, Camino Cap, or Camino Capistrano.
Buy my bikes.
So we bought our bikes.
We sure as shit bought our bikes.
You should buy your bike from him too, because he's fucking awesome.
He is fucking awesome.
Oh, you know what else is cool shit?
What?
The people, I don't know if I told you this, I think we talked about it a little bit, but the people have spoken. The internet has rallied behind our cause.
Yes.
And the votes are in. It looks like our heroine, Jolene Wilder,
the
character of our romance novel that
we're
writing. It looks like we're going to do Choose Your Own Adventure books.
Yes!
Okay? And we're going to do... I think we have enough stories that we could probably split this into two different Choose Your Own Adventure books. Possibly three.
Perfect. Yes, I didn't already say it. One of my friends, who also is a client, came in. And she also put in her vote for Choose Your Own Adventure. So, yes. Overwhelming response.
Fan-fucking-tastic. We also made an executive decision over here at Bad Mormons headquarters, at the corporate office, that we are going to only have one season ever. We're never going to end this season. We're just going to keep numbering our episodes consecutively until we reach 1,000, and then...
Then you'll never hear from us again?
No, then we'll go to 1,001. Or you'll never hear from us again. Stay tuned.
You'll find out.
In 953-2 episodes.
Perfect.
All right, I'm holding in my hands one of our treasured pieces of Bad Mormons memorabilia merch that was sent to us by our good friend.
The Mormon Trail Cookbook.
The Mormon Trail Cookbook. And I have... It was tough to find a recipe, but I pulled one out that I think might be good. It would be better if you were hungover.
Okay.
But I think it's going to be good just for entertainment value, okay?
Tell me it. Tell me more.
Pickled tongue from the pioneer days of a buffalo. Makes approximately 3 pounds of beef tongue.
Oh, great.
Boil the tongue approximately 4 hours or until tender. When cool, the rough may be removed with a sharp knife.
Ugh, fuck off.
Slice and soak in cold water for 1 hour. Skin when cooked. Then you mix in a saucepan, water, vinegar, pickling spice, and salt. Bring it to a boil, pour it over the beef tongue, and add an onion.
Okay.
Life's rough out there on the trail.
I was going to say, I was a butcher for about... Well, I mean, I was not a very good butcher, but I was a butcher for about 6 months, and I cut shit up all day long. Cutting tumors out of lamb, chicken, pork. I mean, I wasn't good enough to touch the beef. and even the thought of cutting the rough off of a tongue was a little... That's a little bit much for me, I'm going to say.
Yeah.
This is fucking gross. Now, what would you pair with that? An iced Bordeaux, perhaps?
What would I pair with a pioneer? Wait, you have to pick. I read the recipe. Kay. You have to pick.
I would pick Jägermeister.
You've just sliced the rough and skinned a tongue.
I mean, it's rough out there, the pioneer days, so you might as well be blacked out for it. Jägermeister.
Fair enough. Perfect. There's lots more gems in here, so stay tuned for next week for more...
Thanks, super fresh candy pants.
More recipes from the trail, the Mormon Trail.
Great. That's just great.
Is it?
We love our book. Perfect. So, should we hear a word from our sponsors, or should we talk about current events?
I think there's a couple current events we should talk about. Namely, Matt Gaetz,
who is... The pedophile.
Well,
I guess it's not... I mean, 17, kind of, that's not really a pedophile, yeah. But it's definitely illegal, even for Florida standards.
Yeah, I wouldn't say pedophile, I would say sex trafficker.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And, what is he? He's a senator, right,
from Florida? Yeah, he's a lawyer that's a senator, and he was, like, Trump's, like, main man kind of thing. So if he had gotten a second term, like, there's a chance that that douchebag would have had a lot of power.
Right, right, right. Oh, yeah, Florida representative. Yeah.
So
essentially what's going on with this man is that him and his buddy basically paid minors for sex using Venmo.
What a fucking moron.
Right? And tagging the payments, you know, like you can write your little, like, what's it for? And you have to write something or Venmo.
Please
will
say
it
was an eggplant.
The emojis didn't come through in the article I read, but I'm betting you $100,000 that was in there. There was, however, one of them was called Test. The other one was called Hit Up and then the girl's name.
Oh, wow.
Right? And then...
So that man's 38 years old. That is the same age as me.
Yeah.
Just FYI out there, what a fucking dirtbag.
Banging little kids.
I could not imagine banging a 17-year-old. Like, that's just beyond gross.
Yeah. Not only that, to add insult to injury, him and his buddy, who basically shared the same girl, and they took her on vacations and took her across state lines, which is how the sex trafficking thing comes into play. They preemptively asked for a pardon from Trump before he left office.
Right.
And then apparently backtracked on that a little bit because I don't know if they didn't get it, or then they were like, oh, wait a minute, that means we're guilty.
Right. I just had to admit to it.
Yeah. And so the one guy, his other buddy, who's like a tax collector from Florida, basically pled guilty, or if he hasn't pled guilty, he's about to plead guilty. Wrote out in a statement, you know, like this, you know, confession, basically in the attempt to get a pardon. Roger Stone is now somehow involved in
right.
that.
Right. Oh, wow.
But yeah, it's this whole fucking gross douchebaggy. Oh, not only that, he's on the Senate floor showing pics of, like, naked chicks, probably naked underage chicks.
Right.
To, like, his buddies.
He's bragging
being, like,
about
like,
it.
I banged this chick. You know what I mean? Like, on the fucking Senate floor.
I apologize in advance to all Chads, but, like, he's, like, the biggest fucking Chad.
Mm-hmm.
For those who don't live in the United States, a Chad is somebody who is overly testosterone, like, tries to... like, have a huge truck, to, you know, because he's got a tiny penis and, like, just tries to be a bigger man than he actually is.
I wouldn't say huge truck Chads. I would say Chads are more like folded sweaters over the, around the neck and khakis, and my dad owns a dealership in Nantucket.
Who would you call the big truck guys, then?
Rednecks?
No, they have to have a name.
Oh.
They're like, bros of Chad.
I want to say Chuck.
Okay. Chuck.
Chuck and Chad.
He's like a combination between the two.
Chucks are poor. Chads are rich.
Okay. I see what you're saying. Mm-hmm. And I can... Yeah, I was going to say, I was envisioning the movie with Eddie Murphy and Dan Aykroyd.
Trading Places.
Trading Places. So it is like a, oh, what is he doing here? Like at the country club. Uh-huh. That's a Chad.
Exactly. Yeah. Except for not well established, has no value, brings nothing to the table except for they just happen to be born into a rich family and, you know, spend their dad's money and have trust funds.
Right. Yep. Okay. Definitely he's a Chad.
We should have had Andrea on this podcast to tell us all about it because she's a bartender in Nantucket and that's their breeding ground in the summer.
You know what? Save it for another podcast. You get to hear all about what a Chad is.
Fuck yeah. I have one more thing in current events that I just read while I was trying to look up all the Matt Gaetz scandal, which I thought was funny. Well, funny and poetic. I don't know if you remember hearing about this a couple months ago. Lady Gaga in L.A., her dog walker was
accosted
at gunpoint, and her dogs were stolen from this guy. So it turns out they have caught those people. There's three of them, and they had no idea, well, supposedly had no idea that it was her dogs. They just saw, like, expensive dogs, and they were like, okay, we're going to get those and sell them or whatever. But they've, including the woman who brought the dogs back to the police station and turned them in, because I think she was trying to get the, there was a $500,000 reward for the dogs.
Oh, wow.
So including her and her dad and, like, her boyfriend or whatever, they got attempted murder charges, conspiracy charges, robbery, firearm assault charges.
Oh, shit.
And they got, like, I mean, just a laundry list of fucking...
Good. Don't be a fucking douchebag. Just don't steal people's dogs.
Right.
What a fucking low-life piece of shit.
Steal diamonds. Fine. Go ahead. Those are insured.
Right. Dogs.
That's your fucking family member.
Exactly. I don't see the difference between, like, doing that or, like, mm-hmm. taking your little brother.
So, yeah. Cheers to the LAPD, I guess.
Well done. I wonder if she thought she was going to somehow get in less trouble.
I don't know.
No, she just wanted
that money.
I think
she wanted the reward.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah. And the cops were like, hold off, Miss... I forget Lady Gaga's real name. Or not stage name. Hold off, Miss So-and-so. Don't pay that 500 grand quite yet.
Right. Nice.
Yeah. So justice was served.
Perfect. Yeah. I wish someone would steal Dexter. He's a papillon. He's expansive.
And he's still breathing just barely, my little baby.
He's got no teeth, can't see anything, can't really hear anything, but that boy's got a sniffer like nobody's business.
He'll eat a cheeseburger right out of your hand.
Without his any teeth.
All right, let's hear a word from our sponsors.
Okay.
And we'll be right back.
It happens to all of us. Ulcerative colitis flare-ups, lactose intolerant because you just can't tolerate life without milkshakes. Maybe we partook in too much Maker's Mark last night. Perhaps it's just one too many cans of Prophet Tyson's potted meat. The nausea, bloating, cramping, that scary, urgent butthole pucker when you think you're just about to blow. Diarrhea can interfere with life and steal precious moments from you. Until now, there were few options for dealing with the green apple splatters. You shouldn't have to take those risky over-the-counter medications. The doctor's office? Forget that. They'll just try to give you a China flu injection. And eating a block of cheese is so back when my dad served in the Vietnam War. Now there's Kaka Cup. The Kaka Cup is a soft, funnel-shaped cup made of comfortable silicone that slides easily into the turd tunnel. Once in place, the Kaka Cup will collect your butt mud and keep you from having to make all those annoying and embarrassing trips to the crap factory. For extreme cases of thunder from down under, the Kaka Cup has a discreet tube that connects to a collection component that is housed in an always fashionable, comfortable-fitting fanny pack. Show Montezuma that his revenge ain't got shit on your dreams, and give Kaka Cup a try today. Kaka Cup is brought to you by your friends at Temple Twat. Oh, look, another hole to keep holy.
Family Home Evening with Bad Mormons listeners get 20% off your first purchase of Kaka Cup. Just use the promo code Relief Society at checkout. That's promo code Relief Society at checkout for 20% off your first purchase of Kaka Cup.
And we're back!
Hey, you came back!
And so did the wine.
Welcome.
So my story this week actually happened a couple weeks ago.
So you can still make bad choices.
So, you know, it doesn't matter how old you are, you can still make terrible choices. Only this time, I'm pretty proud of myself.
Okay.
So I went off to Florida, and, you know, people were kind of like, oh, is that being irresponsible? But I've already had COVID for Christmas, had my first vaccine. It was for work, so I was like one of 20 people that were invited out of thousands, which just really goes to show how amazing I am. anyways, so it was just for the weekend. So I get out there on a Friday, and I meet up with my girl that I'm rooming with. She's super awesome, and she's, like, tall. So if I'm 5'5", she's, like, 5'9". She's, like, slender, beautiful, blonde, curly hair, and she's dressed in a very pretty black dress because she and I went out for dinner. So we went and got dinner, and then we hung out on the beach for a little bit, and then we're like, why don't we get one more glass of wine before we go up to go to sleep, since, you know, we have tomorrow and then, you know, long conference. Anyway, so we sit down at the bar, and I haven't quite ordered my drink yet. I haven't really even looked at a menu, but I looked up for a second and locked eyes with a gentleman across the bar, and he smiled at me, so I smiled back, and he mouths to me, would you like a drink? And I was like, oh, and I'm thinking, oh, no, I don't need a drink. Like, it's too awkward when people buy you drinks, because then you have to, like, talk to them and, like, mm-hmm. whatever.
Was you're he, like, far away?
You're initiating. Yeah, so he's like, if I was sitting at a bar and it curved like that, he was about at the end of a bar. He's about six stools down, okay. Maybe.
So you can't hear each other.
We can't really. I mean, if I were to yell, he would hear me, but like, he was far enough away that just saying, oh, thank you, maybe not hear it.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's like, let me buy you a drink. And I was like, well, okay, yeah, why don't you buy me a drink? That'd be great.
And this is all in, like, pantomime.
This is all in pantomime. I'm, like, shaking my head, and my hands are up going, yeah, 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 give me a drink. Buy me a drink. That'd be great. And then I order my glass of wine, and he's like, come over. He motions for me to come over. And I'm like, I point to my friend. And I'm like, no, I'm with a friend. And then I motion for him to come over to me. Mm-hmm. Which he does not do. And I'm like, fine. Thank you for the drink, Mr. Man, or whatever. And also, mind you, so he's now told the bartender that he'll be picking up my drink as well, before I decided to not go over there. Well, again, my very attractive friend who is sitting next to me, she's like, has no idea what's going on. And then I start thinking, I'm like, wait a second. Is he just trying to lure me in to get to my very attractive friend? Probably.
You're an unknowing wing woman.
Right? I was like, son of a bitch. But, like, even to the point that when we got our check by the end of our drink, I had to pay for my wine. He had, like, the bartender was like, oh, he must be picking up the blondes, uh-huh. Which worked out well for her. Well, worked out well for me because she paid for my wine since uh-huh. my drink was taken care of, and he paid for the more expensive drink. But anyway, so I tell my friend Christine, I'm like, I'm just going to go thank the guy for the drink real quick, you know, and then we can head up. So we both walk over, and I said, hey, I was like, hey, you know, I wanted to thank you for my drink. And he stands up, and he is a very, very tall black man.
And, how tall?
Like, I'm 5'5". He had to have been, like, you know, Blake, my friend uh-huh. Blake. He's, like, as tall as Blake. 6'7".
Oh,
like,
wow.
Like, okay. I think Blake is 6'7", so, okay. Like.
So super fucking tall.
He's, like, super fucking tall.
Okay,
like,
okay.
And I'm just like, oh, you are a very tall gentleman. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm a retired basketball player. And I was like, oh, well, that would explain you being very tall, but, mm-hmm. like, whatever. And I didn't ask him who he played for. And he's like, my name's Daryl Valentine. I'm like, okay, Daryl Valentine. And his friend Nick was with him or whatever. And, like, and he's like, oh, you know, this is my manager, Nick. And we're like, oh, hey, Nick, how's it going? He's like, what are you girls doing out here? And we're like, oh, we're here for our convention type thing, we're on business, blah blah blah. And they're like, what are you doing tomorrow? And we're like, oh, you know, we're here for work. And he's like, you want to go on a yacht? And I guess my face did one of these, like, yeah, you have a fucking yacht, whatever. And Nick picked up on that, and he's just like, yeah, we have a yacht thing. And I was like, oh, I'm just saying, like, That sounds lovely, but we are here on work and we should probably go. So we leave. We go to our room, go to sleep. And then the next day, our other friend, flew in and met up with us. And I kind of told her what had happened. She's like, oh my God, I'm so glad you didn't. Because to be fair, we actually weren't doing anything the next day. It was an off day before, had to actually do stuff. We were just going to hang out by the pool all day.
Also, stranger danger.
No. That didn't really dawn on me so much. I was like, yacht? I love yachts, which is, I think, a problem. But I also, I don't know them, and it just really didn't dawn on me that I'd be out in the middle of the ocean with people I didn't know.
Well, wait, so they were like, you have a, they're like, yeah, we have a yacht, and then you were like, okay, no, bye.
That was pretty much the conversation. I was just like, oh, yeah, no. I was like, we're here on business. But anyways, just wanted to thank you for the drink.
Okay.
And then we left. So
I was hoping maybe there was like some juicy, juicy basketball stories.
That's bragging. All he said. Like, I think if we had stayed, it would have been. Now, mind you, I should say this as well, is that the whole time when he didn't come over, so then I see him, he's buying every girl a drink at the bar, right? I'm not special. Yeah. And that's fine. But, and they're all like, oh, hey, what's up? And you could see that the type of girl that was coming over was more of a Floridian, if you will. crop tops, booty shorts. Also, I want to say we were staying at a nice hotel. Like, they chose, out of all the places, probably one of the nicest hotels to hang out at the bar at. And why these trash were here, I don't really get, but whatever.
Yeah.
Which also, cut to the second night, there were some prostitutes walking around, like, picking up on dudes. They'd leave for, like, 40 minutes and then come back.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing. Like, oh, people are here on business. I'm gonna go, this is how they make their money.
Right, right.
And so, I didn't, but again, didn't catch that the first night. I caught that more the second night. So, when my friend shows up, and I tell her what had happened, she's like, oh my God, Charlotte, thank God you didn't get on their boat. And I was like, you actually think they had a boat? She's like, no, they probably did. And there's a lot of human trafficking out of Florida. And I was like, oh, shut the fuck up. And she's like, oh, no. And I was like, besides, I'm too old. I mean, I get the lighting was low, but it can't be that fucking low. And she's like, no, it takes all kinds. I'm saying it would for sure have been human trafficking, but it's definitely a thing that you just don't go get on people's boats. And I'm like, well, it's a good thing I didn't, I guess. But I did try to Google him and nothing really came up. But I think I also put in Valentino because I was pretty fucked up. But the second night, me and Christine went to go sit on the beach and smoke a little bit of pot, which I don't normally do, but I was actually really enjoying it. And we walked back. The two dudes were there again for the second night, too. And I'm just like, what are these people doing here? But yeah, so that was the time that I almost got human trafficked, is the way I'm going to tell that story.
Wait, was it Daryl Valentine or Daryl Valentino?
I think it was Valentine. I put in Valentino and nothing came up.
Well, I just put in Daryl Valentine and nothing came up either.
Right? No, I tried. I tried to Google and see what was up. And I'm like, I think you're a liar, sir. You just happen to be a tall African-American fellow.
Yeah. We were talking about this with Courtney, and she brought up the fact, I don't know if you remember this, that girl Amy Bradley that went missing from a Royal Caribbean cruise she was on with her parents.
Oh, I kind of vaguely remember her saying something about that.
Yeah, this was in March of 1998.
Dang, okay.
While en route to Curacao. I think that's how you say that. But basically, yeah, Royal Caribbean cruise, 1998 with her parents. She went missing. It was super fucking weird because I guess her dad woke up in the morning and saw her like on their balcony at 5:30. And then at 6 o'clock in the morning, she was gone.
Huh.
And nobody ever saw her again.
Oh.
So she disappeared on the ship. It wasn't like she'd gotten off at port and disappeared in the country. She disappeared on the ship.
Well, that's fucked up.
Right? And there have been a couple of like potential sightings of her. I think there was an Unsolved Mysteries about this too, if I remember correctly. But a couple people who say that they've seen a woman who looks just like her with the right age and everything on the beach. So in 1999, a member of the U.S. Navy claimed a woman in a brothel had said that she was Bradley and asked him for help. But he didn't fucking do anything about it or say anything about it because he thought he was going to get in trouble for being at a brothel.
Right.
In
that's fucked up.
And then he felt bad about it later and reported it. But then she was
gone. What I remember Courtney saying was that she looked him in the eye and said, my name is Amy
Bradley
and I need help.
Yeah.
And so that's really fucked up.
That he didn't do anything. I'm sure he feels fucking terrible about it now, but he's like, I don't want to get in trouble, baby.
I don't give a shit if there's somebody who says they need my help. And if maybe he didn't know what her name was. I don't know. Yeah. All I know is it's fucked up.
Banging hookers.
right?
Maybe it's fine. Just own up to it. Don't let the shame stop you from saving somebody's life.
Right? Be like the guys at the Westin Hotel in Florida. Wait for those fine young ladies to come by and see if you can buy them a drink and then a blue job later.
Get them on your yacht.
Right.
Well, that kind of leads into my story. Slightly, speaking of human trafficking and sex trafficking, we got Matt Gaetz, we've got Daryl Valentino, the mystery basketball player, and it reminded me of the time that I saved our sister Laurie from human trafficking the night of an epic Alkaline Trio show in San Francisco.
Excellent.
Okay, I might be exaggerating the human trafficking part.
San Francisco, known for human trafficking. Actually, listen, you know what?
There's a bay there.
Drugs.
There's a lot of fucking people. There's some dangerous shit that happens there. I wouldn't be surprised.
Right, and it can happen anywhere.
I don't really think Lori would have gotten human trafficked, but it's potential.
She was drunk enough for anything.
She could have been R'd, definitely, for sure.
Who'd want to R her?
We'll get her an R. We'll get mother's rape porn. But here's the story. This is actually a great story. The Alkaline Trio, obviously one of my favorite bands, my sister Laurie's favorite band, they were playing a show at the Fillmore in San Francisco, and so the two of us and my roommate at the time, Lisa, went to the Fillmore to see this show. By the time if you haven't been to the Fillmore in San Francisco, by the way, it's a fucking awesome venue. It's super cool. It's like, you know, very ornate ballrooms, like boxes, you know, all along the side of the floor, and then there's where the merch table is usually
set up.
Like an
Art Deco kind of thing?
Kind of Art Deco, yeah.
Okay.
But a little more like French, I don't know. I'm not very good with that kind of stuff, but it's ornate and beautiful.
Okay.
But then if you go into the back, there's like, it's floor to ceiling gig posters.
Oh,
that
cool.
are like all the same size and framed. So it's like, it kind of looks like our house, actually. But yeah, it's really fucking cool. There's like juxtaposition of the two styles. But anyways, the Fillmore. And so we get our tab at the end of the night because we have cocktail service because we're in one of the box seats up kind of above the stage and kind of over the stage, but near the front. You probably couldn't have gotten better seats. And we got our bill at the end of the night, and somehow we had ordered 19 drinks throughout that show. And they're venue drinks, so, you know, it's a little pricey, but needless to say, we were fucking shit-faced.
19 drinks.
Yeah. And there was these guys that were kind of standing, so we had a little table situation at the, you know, in our little box balcony.
Right.
So there's people standing up, obviously, like, all around the back of us, because it's a good view, and they want to see the show. So there's these guys, speaking of Chads, I would definitely call them Chads / bridge and tunnel people.
Go on, what's a bridge and tunnel person?
Well, it's kind of like, if you live in a city, it's like people who come from the suburbs into the city to hang out and party, so it's like, if you're in San Francisco, it's like people from the East Bay or from Richmond or San Jose or whatever.
I was envisioning people who slept in a tunnel or under a bridge.
Yeah. I imagine it began in New York where it's like, oh, New Jersey people are bridge and tunnel. You gotta take the bridge or the tunnel to get to the city.
All right, go on.
So they're bridge and tunnel people. They're kind of hovering around us, and our sister Laurie's a petite, gorgeous, young, you know,
well,
little
she
thing.
Was. Young. Now she's old like the rest of us.
That's true. But she's still cute and everybody wants to bang her.
It's a fact.
So, and we're not jealous about it.
No, not at all.
We don't fucking care about
her. I'm younger
her.
Than her anyways.
Yeah. Fuck her.
Fuck her.
Fucking bitch. So there's all these dudes hovering around the back of us and they are really super into Lori and she's all, you know, tatted up and everything too. And so they're having a great old time. Everyone's flirting with each other. We're watching the show. Everyone's singing along. Like, it's a really great time. And then we pay our bill for our 19 drinks, and then we, you know, this is kind of, I think it's still my neighborhood at the time, but we were at the Fillmore. So we're heading over, after we left the show, we wanted to head back over to my neighborhood, which was we call it the Tender Knob, so it was like between the Tenderloin and Knob Hill, so it was trashy, but not dangerous like the Tenderloin was. And so we're heading back over there, we're making plans to get a cab and head back over there. And Laurie's like, I'm going to go with these dudes. And I was like, the fuck you are.
Right.
And Laurie doesn't live in San Francisco. Lisa and I do. Laurie was visiting from Washington.
Right.
And I was like, I'm going to let my fucking drunk ass, tiny little sister.
Wait for a sister.
Go off with some fucking bridge and tunnel chads into the city, never to be seen again. Fuck no.
And I just remember she was so fucking pissed off at me. Like, but in that drunk pissed off way.
How dare you?
Yeah. But, like, she wasn't even talking to me, but she was like, look at me, like, with the most evil, like, trying to stare into my soul, like, you've really pissed me off. But you could tell she had drunk face on at the same time, too. And I was like, you're going to thank me for this later. She was not having it. Super fucking pissed off. So these guys were, who are you guys going? And we're like, you know, we're heading back over to, we were going to the Hemlock, which is a cool bar over by my apartment over there. We're going over there. You guys can meet us over there if you want. But, like, my sister's not leaving with you.
Right.
So we all head over to that neighborhood, which there's a ton of cool bars over there. We end up going to the Hemlock, and, you know, I leave Laurie out there. She's out there smoking or something with the guys, and I go up and I sit at the bar, and I'm waiting for my drink to come, and one of the band members comes and sits next to me, Dan Andriano, and I looked over at him, and I was like, and you could tell, like, he could tell that I recognized him.
Right,
you know,
kind of
gave
sorry.
Me, like, a smile, like, hey, what's up? And I was just, like, rigor mortis, set in stone, like, I didn't know what to do, and I was just like, I love you. You know, kind of laughed or whatever, and we got our drinks and went our separate ways. Then I go over to our table, and we had met up with some other people at this point. Some Andrea, I think, was there, and some Blaze and Dennis and a bunch of people.
Right.
And Laurie's still outside talking to these dudes, and we're kind of in the... They have this sort of outdoor smoking section, so I can see her at the front door. And I look, and she's got her pants down because she's showing her leg tattoo. She's got a full leg sleeve. So she's got her pants down at the Hemlock, showing these dudes her tattoos.
Smart.
Well, she's wasted, right? And I keep feeding her more drinks, and I'm sure there was probably cocaine involved at this point,
right.
too. Oh, there definitely was. I forgot about that. Because this story goes on after this. But then, as she's out there showing these guys her tattoos, the lead singer, well, they're co-lead singers, but the other lead singer of the band walks right past her into the bar. So Matt Skiba walks in with his girlfriend, and all of us were just like, in dying in heaven, because it's like the band that we just saw, you know,
is now drinking at the same bar as you.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Laurie has her pants down and has no idea that he's walked just past her.
Right,
know?
Right.
Okay.
But, and the kicker to this whole story is, which I can't remember at what point this information, I say information in quotes, was divulged, but one of these young gentlemen was claiming to be Matt Skiba's brother. Which really got the attention of Laurie.
Of course.
Oh, Matt Skiba's brother.
But it's Matt Skiba's brother.
Yeah. Spoiler alert.
Matt Skiba doesn't have a brother.
Matt Skiba does not have a brother.
I don't even like this band hashtag, and I even know that.
Yeah, so it was great. Like, she's trying to, you know, hook up with Matt Skiba's brother. Matt Skiba actually walks past her.
Hey, Skibby, is this your brother?
Oh, so good. And there's another dude who was, like, semi more normal, but was less chattish. I can't remember his name, but he was trying to claim he was the band manager or something. God.
So, yeah, as lame. If he's saying that, he's as fucking lame.
Yeah. And we all ended up going to the park, like, to Dolores Park at, I don't know, 2-3 in the morning, doing blow, drinking. We had a bottle of Jameson or whatever. Oh, I was living over there because my apartment is, like, 2 blocks from the park.
Right.
The reason I'm saying this, too, is because normally you wouldn't just want to be in the middle of Dolores Park in the middle of the night.
Frankly, I don't think you should be at any park in the middle of the night of a big city.
Yeah, probably not.
Generally not a great idea.
I felt pretty comfortable at this park, though, because it's, like, my neighborhood park. It was literally 2 blocks from my apartment. It was when Lisa and I lived on Church, right between 15th and 16th. So you could just walk right up there. So that's where we were, and I was all like, you know, oh, yeah, you guys, we can go back to my place after this and hang out and whatever, because by then we're all drunk and high and having a good time, and then the liquor ran out, and it was time to go home, and I was like, well, see ya.
Bye.
You can't come over anymore. And I didn't do it to be malicious, but I realized...
what a terrible idea it was.
Yeah. It was just not great. And
again,
so,
liars and... trying to R your sister.
Yeah. So I was like, yeah, you know, get a cab. The Union Square's that way. Which I'm sure is where they were staying. I don't know. Right. But yeah, so that was the time that
Laurie
I saved Laurie.
Potentially fallen into the arms of Matt Skiba's brother.
And been human trafficked to...
all night long.
To the East Bay.
Gross. sick. Good times.
I've been wanting to tell that story for a while because it's just so goddamn funny.
Because I would be so fucking mortified if, well, one, on a busy street, my pants were down showing people. I mean, I don't think I would care at the time, but I would think back and go, not my finest hour. But let's just say, you know, John Linnell of They Might Be Giants walked past, I would want to die. I would just want to die. John Linnell, is this your brother?
You know, it's a weird thing I remember about that encounter, too, because I remember watching, obviously, like, I'm watching Matt Skiba's every move because I
fucking
love him. And so he's there with his girlfriend at the time, and they're standing outside smoking cigarettes, and he's got this fresh, basically, he's standing. So it's kind of an enclosed outdoor smoking section. Right. So he's standing right on the other side of the screen. So he's like, basically, we're right next to each other. Obviously, he doesn't know I'm there because he's talking to his girlfriend.
Right. Having, living his own life.
And I'm a fucking psycho stalker.
Listen.
But he's got this brand new neck tattoo, which is the, I didn't realize what it was for a long time because, I didn't get into Queens of the Stone Age until fairly recently, considering. Right. But he had the pitchfork from Queens of the Stone Age, oh, from the Songs of the Deaf. Freshly tattooed on his neck? Yeah.
There's a feather I thought that I saw. Oh, okay.
Yeah, like, in the front.
I don't even like that band.
But yeah, I just remember seeing like this fresh tattoo and this gorgeous little, you know, waif of a girl who was his girlfriend. I can't remember. Right.
I want to think, there's got to be some sort of scientific study. And if there isn't one, I'd very much like there to be one. Of what the fuck goes into our brain when we meet somebody who we idolize, like, but it can't just be somebody you look up to. It has to be somebody you idolize, because then all forms and functions cease to work, right? Mm-hmm. Or all of a sudden you're just like, boom. Like, I don't know. Like, there's got it. Like, and is there a way to counteract it? Because I fucking hate it. I really liked you in the movie of fill in the blank.
I did have one shining, well, I've had a couple shining moments, but I did have one shining moment with him where it was a different show in San Francisco. They were playing at Cafe du Nord. You had to win tickets to get into it.
Okay.
I couldn't get in. I tried to bribe my way in, and the guy was like, this is not that kind of a place. Oh. You know, you can go fuck yourself.
Right.
This was like literally a block and a half from my apartment
at the time. Here.
And Laurie had gotten in, of course. Because she schmoozed somebody in line who had an extra ticket. So about halfway through the show, I was just outside listening because I couldn't get in, you know, and the door guy finally like realized I knew all the lyrics and you know, and I was not going anywhere, and he finally let me in.
Is that kind of a place.
So I got to see half the show. But then we went out, you know, got some food, hung out at the bars, just stuck in that little neighborhood. And then we went to Lucky 13, which is one of my favorite bars in San Francisco, super punk rock bar. And it was last call. Well, it was real close to last call. So it was me and Laurie sitting at the bar. There was a little table of three people in the back, and that was it. There was nobody else in the bar. It was like 1:30 in the morning or something. And I'm facing the back of the bar. Laurie's facing the door. We're sitting at the bar together. And all of a sudden, her face just goes white. And she's like, Matt Skiba just walked in the bar. And I was like, shut the fuck up. She's like, no, I'm serious. And I turn around just as he's walking past me. And I was like, holy shit, that Matt Skiba just walked in the bar. And so I don't know what happened. Like, he was up getting walking up to the bar to get a drink. And I just got up out of my seat and I started walking over to him. And in my brain, I was like, what are you doing? What the fuck are you doing? Yeah, but I was so drunk. It was the end of the night, you know? And I just was walking towards him. I didn't know what I was going to do or what I was going to say, but I just had to, like, talk to him because he was the only one in the fucking bar.
Right.
Turns out that little table in the back was his friend's. But I just walked up to him and I was like, hey, we just saw your show next door. It was so fucking cool. Like, thank you so much. We love your music so much. And I actually sounded, like, normal.
Like, not a psychopath.
And not a complete freak.
That's
and
good.
He gave me a hug. Oh. And he was like, thank you so much for listening. Oh, my God. And then Laurie came up.
Can I have a hug, too?
Basically. And, like, hey, can I buy you a shot? So we did shots of Patron at the bar. But, like, that was the one and only time when I've ever been able to be cool. And I think it was just because I had the right amount of liquid courage.
Right.
But not too
not
much.
Not too much, yeah. No, that's key. That's key right there. Yeah, because I don't know. I feel like, you know, they're people. They're everyday people who just do something that we love what they do. Mm-hmm. So why on earth can we no longer function when they're in our presence?
Yeah.
It's like, it's bullshit. It's so stupid. And I wish, you know, let's just say I did amazing work and I was, like, I don't know. People are like, Charlotte, you're amazing. Like, would people come up to me and be like, hey, Cheryl, I just really wanted to tell you that I really liked that hairstyle that you did that one time. Like, no, that's never going to happen. So why does that happen with other people?
I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm rambling, but I want to find out what the fuck that's about and how to fix
saying.
It.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I'm trying to think if there's other people besides, like, I'm obviously very, like, dramatic when it comes to actors and musicians, right. Because
well,
that's
like
our
friend Don, we were talking about it, I was like, yeah, no, it's the stupidest thing that, like, I can talk to somebody perfectly normal, but if I find out they're famous, then all of a sudden I'm like, I can't talk to you anymore. Like, and he's like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I was like, I know, I totally know it. Because, you know, he works in the industry, so he talks to those people all the time.
Yeah.
So he's just like, I don't get what the appeal is. I'm like, I don't either. That's the problem. I don't see why it matters, but it does.
So if you're interested in funding a scientific study where Charlotte and I get to meet lots of our famous idols that we love, musicians and actors that we love, send us an email.
You can Venmo me.
Send us an email at fhebadmormons@gmail.com. We'll do all the legwork. We'll set it up. We'll find some legit scientists.
I'm going to buy one of those helmet things that read your wavelength.
From Ghostbusters?
Yeah. I was actually thinking... Back to the Future.
Oh, yes.
That means this stuff doesn't work. But that was to read minds anyways. Mm-hmm, but a visual.
Yeah. If you're enjoying our podcast,
leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or head over to YouTube and like and subscribe.
We're on all the social medias. Instagram.
Facebook.
TikTok.
Pinterest.
Wait, is that all of them?
Twitter.
We're not very good at it, but we do it for you.
For you.
And one quick little last shout out to our amazing patrons.
Yeah, thanks guys.
You guys are making this way more fun than we thought it was going
to
be.
Way more fun. Every time you guys reach out to us, patron or not, it really just makes our day.
Yeah, so reach out. We love to hear your stories and we love to hear your reviews. Even if you're somebody who just thinks that everybody in the world gives a shit what their opinion is, if you're that person, leave us a review.
I would love to hear what you have to say about me.
Are you a Yelpy leader?
Yeah.
Leave us a review.
Can we make a Yelp?
Oh my God.
Google Places, Yelp. We're making it happen.
All right. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.